Brass Ducks, good afternoon. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Mr. Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Yes, yeah. I'm happy to speak to you. I've listened to you over the years. I called this program 2 weeks ago. I spoke to Corey, and I would have made my point clear of how I listened to you, and I learned a lot from, you know, your teachings. I call it teachings on this program. I didn't get to really make the point I wanted to make because me and Corey went on a total different line that I called for. A matter of fact, I couldn't even believe as soon as I put down this phone, I had my phone ringing off. Like, oh, you just called Brass Ducks program? That was my first time calling the program and people know my voice.
Your voice too well known.
Yes. Right, but I'm calling as a small entrepreneur, businessman, how difficult it is to get loans from the lending institution. My credit union has done what it can, but a credit union can only do so much for a business loan.
Mm-hmm.
Now they tell you to get everything. You know, you go, you do projections, you get all your bank statement, job letters, because I currently work in construction as well. So I bring in everything, and then they find some way to tell you, oh, I cannot give you this loan because. So I'm thinking, so it's because somebody, the people who control these institutions are some of the same people who are in the same businesses, and they just don't want to see small businesses grow or something like that. I don't know why there's so much run around for a small person. But that's one.
Let me just tell you this, because well, hold on to the second one, because hopefully we'll have this discussion after the news, because you've raised an interesting line. And let me tell you one of the first things that I think stands in the way. Sir, I don't think banking institutions trust that word, small business. They seem to think that small businesses fail at a far greater rate than big businesses that they then term too big to fail. So they put their money behind big businesses that they feel are too big to fail, that fail. And they got to throw more money behind it. So small businesses pay the price for that word called small. They don't pay attention to business, they pay attention to small, especially if you want money that they think too big for a small business. We can talk about that because that's a good line that you bowl in and see how we could parry those thunderbolts. BrassDucks@starcomnetwork.net. Those are the two ways, one of three ways, because you can also send a WhatsApp message to 266-4862. I am always pleased when The members of the Royal Barbados Police Force who can assist do so. It's part of their duty, and I'm always happy that they can and they do. Sergeant Siebert Johnson, no relative, but source of good information and relatively good to me when I have questions, sent me some information to pass on to the gentleman with the license. The sergeant informs me that if you renew your license, you pay your fee and the machine is not working, you take along your expired driver's license, you take along that receipt. If you don't, you can also travel with your Barbados ID that would show you who you are. So the officer will confirm that you are who you say you are. The issue date and the expiry date will of the old license should be there to guide them, and you show them the receipt, you show them the expired license, and you should have no problem with the constabulary. And of course, if you have to produce it within 24 hours, you have 24 hours to find the old one if it's not on you, and produce it and show it, and you should be able to drive your vehicle. Given the police extra work, though, when they gotta keep checking all these things, the sticker on your car expired, but you paid bra and you're just waiting on it to be delivered, and you know, insurance paid, but you're waiting on this. And yeah, the gentlemen of the Royal Barbados Police Force, I salute you for your job, and I commiserate with you for the times when we run afoul of the law, because then you really have to, you know, do things. Brass Ducks, good afternoon.
Yes, Mr. Johnson, I'm still here.
Good, right, great to have you. We were having a conversation about small business, and I made the comment about Perhaps they don't like the word small. I know a few people who have what they think are small businesses, even though some of them employ 3-4 people, and they have the same problem you have. I saw in today's newspaper that there was, online, I think it was in Barbados today, I double-checked The Nation to see if it's there as well, that members, the head of the Small Business Association, applauding one of the companies in Barbados, courts, I think, for having a window to assist persons who have challenges with financing their operations. But yes, you were telling me about your challenges, so I listen.
Right. And I'm glad you brought up the last point that you brought up, because when the banking institutions refuse to lend you funds for your business, mm-hmm. it then causes you to turn to alternative measures that you really don't want to. And that particular point that you made last, I remember a year and a half or some ago, I turned to that institution, it's instant cash. Mm-hmm. But when I do check myself and, you know, you want the cash, and I don't have a problem paying back, borrowed people money, even if they charge 100%, I borrow the money. But sometimes I think that people are really hard. And when I catch myself and I check, I speak to myself, but this loan is more than 50%. So when I go to the institution and I query, it was actually 60% to pay back on the loan. and for a small businessman, that's crippling.
That's heavy business, yeah.
It's heavy,
yeah.
You know, and I'm asking myself, why do these institutions, you know, come on the radio, the television, and you know, make it sounds as they are trying to help, when really and truly they are not trying to help. They just want to put that pretty face out there so that people will believe that they are doing their best, but they can do more. They can do more.
Sir, going back to the comment I made when you were off, when you had gone off and we were heading to the news, is this thing about being small. Sometimes you would like to increase the size of your business. You know, you have additional business coming in. So, you know, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? So you decide, okay, I have a large order. I may need 3 extra people to help me. I may need more floor space, depending on what I'm doing. I may have a manufacturing business, or I may be growing fruit and vegetables. I want a vehicle to go out to the public. You know, I may want to put a cover over the vehicle I have. It's going to cost. These things are all part of the expanding of your business. But if you have to go through what most of the banks ask for, you know, either collateral or business plan or some record of your income over the past 10 years or 5 years or whatever. Having worked in banking, I have often argued this point, especially with when I was in Trinidad, where a lot of people come to you and say, no, I want to open up a roti shop, or I want to, you know, get into some business. And you can't ask that person for how much money they've made over the last 5 years, because it's a new business. And if you want to expand, you can't say how much the expansion would, you can't make a projection sometimes. And asking some of these questions put the person who wants the loan on the defensive. One, makes them feel stupid in some cases because they can't answer you off the bat. And they're already intimidated that they come into you and, as I used to get told, exposing themselves. Although exposing yourself means something else. People are vulnerable when they go to lending institutions. And sometimes it is how they are treated as opposed to what they hear when they listen to the advertisements that cause them to feel uncomfortable and say they're not being treated well. I firmly believe that persons who describe themselves as small businesses have a lot, and I mean a mountain and a half, to climb in dealing with financial institutions. It's difficult, sir. I don't know how it will change. I don't know when it will change. But organizations like the Small Business Association and the various windows of opportunities for lending from governmental agencies also need to work on that part of it. How you present, how you account, how you assist, just as much as they put into the advertising end of it saying, you know, we have put 5 million for small business, we've put 20 million for micro business, we've put X million, you know, the ads that say, come in and see us, just bring a job letter, 2 months this and proof of address and we're ready to go. And when you get there, they ask, is your business registered? Do you have a board of directors? And questions that you're either not prepared to answer, or the answer is no, and then you see you have another hurdle to get over. It is frustrating, especially if you're genuine in your need.
Yeah, but my concern, Mr. Johnson, is that, okay, having gone to the institution, they ask you, okay, they look at all the paperwork you bring, and then they ask you, okay, I don't see you having a problem, but you need to get this, you know, you need to go into a projection from a certified accountant.
Yep.
Now, going to a certified accountant, paid $1,000 to do a projection, come back with, I have a registered business, I come back with my business certificate, I come back with all my bank statements, my credit union statement, and my job letter from the company I work for, and then they still find
something else to ask you for, right? Yeah. So, and as I said, it's because they just don't trust that word small. I've seen it, I've watched it. That's why one of the reasons I was told I'll never survive in the business of banking, because I kept asking some of the same questions you ask. Because I know that persons who request loans usually almost ask for just what they need. There is never a overlap, you know, for a rainy day. And when I asked about that, I was told that's not your concern. If the man say you want $5,000, concentrate on $5,000. Don't ask him what happened when it rains and you want an extra $2,500. That's not your business. So, but if I could see that you're saying, okay, I want to get into the transportation business. I want $20,000 to buy a truck. Just saying so. And I ask you, okay, how much are you putting aside from what you make to do servicing of the truck every 6 months or every 3 months? What if you don't make enough to pay me back and service the truck? Will it go out of operation? That's part of finding out how you're going to pay back my $20,000 loan. It ain't that dang what I'm supposed to do. But, sometimes they follow a set of rules that they're given by their parent company, and they don't use what I call just plain old common sense and know your client.
Yeah, I and that's why I like to speak to you. This is my first time speaking. That's why I like to listen to you. But, you know, and the point that you just made, because the excuse for this institution was, okay, I come in with a poultry production business plan. I have been doing this for 10 years now. I start from 60 chickens. I'm up to more than 15 chickens right now. So I come in with a plan. I bring everything. Now, I do have a registered construction business as well. Mm-hmm. But I didn't come in with a construction business plan. I come in with a poultry production plan because I want to get more into that rather than more into construction, because when they had the pandemic and they had the shutdown, I get to realize, you know what? When there's pandemic, people have to eat. Construction was closed for 2 months. I couldn't work for 2 months. I didn't have an income. If it wasn't for my little business, I don't know how I would have survived. I have children. I have rent to pay.
Right.
So I decided I want to go bigger into the but still continue my construction. But I didn't come to them for a construction loan. So the excuse was, the manager said that they have a problem with your construction business because they think that you may use the money to use in your construction. But I didn't come to you with a construction business for a loan for construction. I come to you for a poultry production business loan. That's what I want my money for, you know. So it's always finding a way to see how much they can cripple you. But I mean, as I said now, and I would have said to Corey, so when my business grow and I start making money, should I go and put my money in this same institution, or should I dig a hole and bury it or something?
Sir, that's the other side of the coin. And someone just reminded me of that. I said at the break as well. When you put your money in there, it is your money that they then lend to someone else. So they'll tell you that they're doing the things that they're doing to protect your money because they don't really have any money. The challenge, however, is balancing the needs of your customers at every level. So you have to balance the need to protect their deposits as well as balance their need for financing. Because the whole reason that you ask or you entice people to bring their money to you is so that you could grow your business, that they could increase the level of interest they pay you, and they can ensure that they can pay you back when you want your money. So they have to balance the needs of both. Unfortunately, and this is what the defenders don't want to hear, the bank's not really doing that to protect no depositors' money, you know. They're doing that to protect shareholder interest. So the, right. the defenders who keep saying that they're doing it to protect my money, they can't be doing it to protect my money when they're taking $10 out of my money that I put there for them to protect and tell me that they're charging me to protect it. Right?
Right.
They're doing that for shareholder interest. So I hear that part. As I said, I worked in the institutions for 12 years. I know. But what I'm seeing today is not what I experienced back when I did it back in 1970s. I see shareholder interests above all else.
Right. As I would have mentioned before, is that the credit union can only do so much. When it comes to business, the credit union can't do, for instance, the credit union doesn't isn't checkbook, so you know, you can't get a checkbook from it. So the credit union can only do so much. But, you know, in all, as I said, all the big businesses are out there today. I figure they start small. I don't think that they grew up
Correct.
And just done big
And
businesses.
I said some of them are now being called too big to fail. Yeah.
right,
yeah, but they're failing nevertheless.
And just before I go, I don't want to take up no more time. I want to touch one more topic. Mm-hmm. Insurance, vehicle insurance. You know, I had an accident in 2017. That's 3.5 years ago. And up to today, I can't get a police report. What is going on in Barbados? 3.5 years ago, somebody hit my vehicle. I didn't hit nobody. Somebody hit me in my lane.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't get a police report. So I have to go and fix my vehicle, spend my money, up my money to get my vehicle fixed so I can use it. And then 3.5 years later, I'm still waiting on a police report. What's going on in Barbados?
So that's one of the other challenges that I hear of quite regularly. Insurance companies saying they're waiting on accident reports, or saying they're waiting on other insurance companies or something. So it's a pass the problem on to somebody else's response. That's the best I could put. I don't know what it is. But thanks for raising your concerns, and I hope you have some assistance with it. As I said, business, lose is the small they're afraid of. Lose the term, perhaps if you just say you're a business, and they're already a man, so your businessman is superfluous. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Okay, I believe, as you keep saying, you've been on that program now for about 26 years.
26, yes, ma'am.
Yeah, and I know that you have heard several times commuters complain about the PSVs, the loud music, the mm-hmm. bad music, the stopping anywhere, the overloading,
mm-hmm.
and it all went on deaf ear. COVID has come now, and it's bringing about a change. And now they realize that they need help because they believe that they're being harassed. But when commuters were complaining, they never found it fit. The government tried to take the music off, they had an excuse. Everything you tried to do to make it better, they found the excuse. And now they want, even now, for somebody to find an excuse for them. When will they realize that it's not only about them, and it's about other people?
Ma'am, unfortunately, as with I suppose most sectors, people step forward when they think their business is being threatened, when they think their source of income is under attack, and they try to defend themselves. Understanding that service to customers improve your customer ratings. I think one of the challenges facing the transportation sector in particular is that the people they depended on the most for their income, the ones that they played the music for, the ones that they allowed themselves to be packed in like sardines and didn't care about where they stopped, sadly, they are perhaps the ones unemployed today. So the PSVs now have to depend on those persons who still have a job, who were perhaps not of their mass clientele before, and perhaps have to change their attitudes to their customers. You know, it's strange when you have to ask somebody to come to you as opposed to when they rush into you. You change the way you think and the way you approach them. Huh? I see PSVs driving up and down, stopping and begging people to come to them. Take a drive up Highway 7 anytime around 2-2:30 when the Graydon Sealy Secondary School students go down to Highway 7. ZR vans line up one behind the other. Some turn and go up Hart's Gap and turn around, trying to entice school children to get on the ZR vans to get to where they're going. And the elderly or the more mature persons who are now quite willing to wait on the air-conditioned transport board bus, they stop and almost beg them to get on the vans because they now have an alternative to getting on the van. And they know that transport board air-conditioned buses are perhaps passing more frequently and going on different routes that they didn't used to go to before. It's called competition. And now they're feeling the pressure of competition, reduced income because of less passengers. So the protests are going to grow. They will. It is going to be a hard lesson, but we'll see what happens. But I see it happening on the road. It's causing some congestion in some areas, especially with TAP and private taxis also joining the mix. Let us never forget how ZRs got started. ZRs started off as ZM Suzuki vans, taxis that started plying routes and taking bus fare, as opposed to asking for a taxi fare. So a special segment was created for them, and it grew from there. Remember that. So a 6 or 8 seater Suzuki van then became a 21 seater. So if they had 100, and I keep using this as an example, because I lived out in Christchurch by Roy Smith's shop at the time, and I saw Suzuki vans, 6 8-seaters, they used to fit 8 people in them, suddenly becoming 21-seater Toyota vans. Now, look at it this way. If you had 100 Suzuki vans working the Silver Sands route, that's 100 vans with 6 to 8 seats or 7, so that's 700 people that were being moved. When you suddenly move those 100 vans to 21-seaters, you now have 2,100 seats available. And then people started saying they got too many buses on the routes because the buses kept adding more seats without having the commensurate increase in persons needing the transport. So they started to hustle and just branched that out into other areas. We don't think rationally about what we're doing. We depend on surveys. We depend on papers presented perhaps in a language we don't understand. Perhaps I talk too simply, but it's just mathematics. Competition is going to increase.